welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I'm your host, Jody Sweeten.
And I'm Celia Behar.
Yes, you are. An adorable, adorable little Celia Behar.
Have we figured out how you pronounce
Jody's
your last name?
Jody's been up since 4 a.m.
Hold on. Calm down, first of all. We have a special guest with us today who is our first dad guest of the podcast.
Uh-huh. Who has testicles.
First,
but not a vagina hole.
No, not a vagina hole, but that's all right. We love you anyway, John. And
thank
we
you.
Are so happy to have you here. This is John Brotherton. Some of you may know him as Dr. Matt Harmon on Fuller House. And he is with us today to talk all things testicle. No, yeah. All things.
Yeah, well, they See, resulted single. In children, so. Well,
yes,
sometimes
indeed,
they do that.
Yes. Right. Yeah,
you gotta
they
watch
do.
Them.
And I just so you guys, I was up doing some press early this morning and have been up since 4:30 and I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth today. So just
what's easier,
up.
Press at 4:30 or like screaming sick children at 4:30?
Press Ooh. For yeah. sure. Yeah. Press for sure. Although my kids
but
don't
you can't
really,
do that naked. Press.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, you could.
You could.
Because we are all naked right now.
Well,
wish
duh.
You could join us.
Right.
That's I mean, how that's... we knew you had testicles.
Yeah.
Never.
Right.
Before it was a big.
So yeah, but I wanted to. Yeah, I've written nothing down. I have no plan. Usually, yep. I don't have a great plan, but there's at least some. I don't know what's going to happen today. So.
I know. And I never have a plan. She shows up with like a notebook and a pen, like an old school notebook and a pen. I have my phone on my lap and I'm kind
of
like,
okay,
whatever.
First of all, back off the microphone.
I know.
No, Celia, sorry. Celia's paranoid because apparently some of our Spotify listeners have said that the volume
hear.
Is a little low. And
I'm
so I think Celia's just trying to scream into the microphone today so that everyone.
All by myself.
Right.
Making yeah. up for it.
Our producer Emily yep. keeps moving the microphone back. Or just pushing her back. Yeah. Like, just yeah. calm
She's
down.
Now in the kitchen.
I know.
Right. Celia's doing the
Outside,
podcast from next door.
In my car. Fuck it.
Oh
my God.
Boy. Yeah. So as you can see, we are a well-oiled machine here, John. We're so happy to have you.
Yep.
No, John actually is one of our very good friends. And I used to do more often than I do now. Actually, I don't do it really at all now. I've gotten lazy, but used to do Sunday get-togethers and have everybody over here at the house. So John and his wife and his girls would come over. Speaking of, why don't you give us your parents' stats? How old are your kids? How many you got?
So I have two little girls, 7 and 8. They're a year and a half apart, not even quite that, which kind of makes them like twins. They were, you know, sort of back-to-back eggs when you do the biology of it all. And they're
Irish twins.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're awesome. Two little fiery blondes that, you know, are little ladies, but they're also jocks. And they're, yeah, as my mom likes to say to me, well, you got your boys, because I got two like
yeah.
I got two rough and tumble ones.
Yeah.
But it's fun for me. I'm coaching basketball now and you know, knee deep and all that. So.
Amazing.
That's yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. So, they're very cute, by the way.
Yes,
thank
they
you.
Are.
They're yeah, but they're a challenge. I mean, they
yes,
all are.
They are.
Yeah, I don't know that you stopped doing Sundays because you were lazy as much as it was a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's
with a lot of personality.
A lot of chaos.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Maybe. I don't know what happened. I just,
that
I'll
one
start
time
it
we
up
found
again.
Them all in the bathtub, like jumping off your toilet into the tub.
Oh, that's
your
right.
Were there for
I
that.
Was
sure.
looking through those
I'm
pictures
sure.
the other day, mm-hmm. and I was like, who are, oh my God, why are there six children? They had come inside yep. from the pool yep. with their bathing suits still
oh, yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And my pool, it's a smaller pool, and we don't have a jacuzzi attached to it. So they decided to make their own jacuzzi
their own. Yep. Yeah.
and come into the bathroom. And
totally logical.
Everyone got into the hot water in the bathtub, and then they just like swirled themselves around
yeah.
to
Maybe
create
seven,
jets.
Seven, six
I think
or
it was like
seven.
Six or seven. Yeah. And there's like a ledge that
they were like,
we were like,
sliding
where did the kids go?
Yeah.
And they were like standing on top of that and like sliding down into the
Definitely
into the
ER was like around right. the corner.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. Super safe.
For sure.
Where were we?
We were here.
Like standing
no,
in the kitchen eating. That's
no, probably.
Probably.
And we were like,
eating
they're just,
and laughing.
They're getting warm.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Calling them dicks by right. their back while they're gone.
What assholes. Yeah.
So John, since you are our wonderful special guest today, what is your never thought I'd say this moment of parenting?
You know, it's funny. You'd thrown that at me the other day, and there were so many little ones that just immediately came to mind that I'm sure you guys have almost covered. Like, you can't bite your sister or, you know, whether it's out of excitement or anger.
Or not. I bite people when I get excited.
You can't, like, I heard just, you say, yeah, yeah, I know, it's what it is. I'm like, just save that. Right. It'll come in.
Right.
For when you're older, it'll be.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that. So, wow, that's okay.
John, I'm amazed
that I missed that.
Yeah, I am too.
That's how tired I am. Yep. Oh, I just, low hanging fruit, and I missed it.
Yeah. All right.
And whenever I say low hanging fruit, I just think of testicles. But anyway.
For sure. For, yes. Yeah. I mean, kind of, right?
Yes.
I heard you say something about you can't lick the toilet bowl or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Please don't lick the toilet. Actually, I think what I said was get your mouth off the toilet.
Yeah. I remember, like, at early having to explain you can't lick the handrails. And because my daughter, I remember being at the Grove and she was really young and we were on the trolley and they have these, like, you know, nice brass handrails. Right.
Yeah. Super shiny and pretty.
Yeah. I'm like looking one way. I'm like, hey, look at this. And I turn and she's just making out with this rail. I was like, you can't lick the handrails. And she looked at me with this smirk on her face and she's like, but daddy, it tastes good.
Ew. But like, does it though?
I'm sure it tastes like a 9-volt battery.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like,
what
it,
I mean,
tastes like licking pennies. Not that I've done exactly. it. I'm just saying that I've done it.
Which is another one that I'm like, you can't eat money. Like, how many times have you said, don't put, you know, like to a little one?
I don't put a dollar up your butt once. Oh. I had to say that to Lulu, of course.
Well, eventually you have to tell them not to put it up their nose either, but that's a whole other topic of conversation.
I was going to say down their pants. I don't know. Her name's Lulu, she might end up in clear heels. Who knows?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah. Watch that.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's the one that led me to one that I was like thinking, I'm like, you know, this is another one that is funny, but it also is like a sign of the times. I had to tell my 7-year-old, you can't bring mascara to school. And I never thought at that age I'd be dealing with this. I thought, okay, junior high is going to come. Listen, I had girls and immediately shit my pants. I'm like, oh my God. I got like, first I got 18 years of like total chaos and panic. And then I'm just going to be worried for the rest of my life.
So, okay. So just on that really quick.
Yeah.
What was that like finding out that, you know, you're going to be the dad of two daughters? Like, what is it for a dad? What's that perspective like?
Well, I have a unique situation because I've only always lived with girls. I was raised by a single mom who was just amazing.
Kind as of, all single moms are.
Totally.
I do. I love your mom.
I have a really awesome, strong, free-spirited, artistic. I mean, the reason I am an actor, she pretty much forced it on me. Usually it's the other way around, like your parents force you to go to business school. My mom was like, put the suit and tie away and you know, go be creative in Hollywood. So I was raised by a single mom. I had an older sister who was just so amazing to me. She was nine years older than me, so she was also, you know, played a huge sort of parental role. And then we were talking earlier about like, when do you leave your kids alone? Like, at an early age, my sister was taking care of me when I was real young. And I had an older brother, but he was so much older. We had different dads that basically he moved out when I was born. So it was me and my ladies, really, is my mom and my sister. And then when I'm older, it was when I moved to LA, I lived with my female cousin and I moved in with my wife and now we have girls. So I've sort of always been surrounded by girls. But once they become, 6 pounds and they're laying in your hands in the hospital, it's a whole nother deal. You're like, wow. And that old saying that everyone laughs about, like, if when you're a, you know, you have a boy, you worry about one penis.
You worry about one dick, and now you got to worry about all
it's
the dicks.
It's so true, man. I mean, just it's a panic them. You know.
Yeah.
And it's
and it's hard now too, I think, because, like, you know, dads now, and we've talked about this a little bit, about sort of the changing gender roles and discussions and stuff that happen now. And like, you're such an amazing dad, and I know that you are a dad that wants to be involved and wants to have those be open and, you know, have all these conversations, but it's still like, oh my God, this is my daughter.
It's so tough.
Like, it's to get still, information that you didn't know. I remember once my ex-husband being upstairs with the girls giving him a bath, and I just kept hearing them go, look at my vagina, as they were like thrusting out, and then all of a sudden hearing my ex-husband going, can everyone put their vaginas away. And I was like, well, now there's something I don't think he thought he'd ever have to say.
Totally. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
or don't touch your sister's vagina.
Right.
You know, like,
don't do that.
We don't need to investigate. Right. You know?
You've got the same one. Yeah. Go check out your own.
Right. Totally.
And you're totally outnumbered.
I'm way outnumbered.
Do you have like a male dog? you need something.
Like I said, fortunately, you know, we do a lot of, you know, the stereotypical like boy stuff that kind of I get my fix, you know, like we're all outside. We play hoops in the front yard when they get home from school. We're constantly hiking. And so I don't feel like I'm missing some sort of
Yeah, you don't have little doll playing.
No,
like,
I feel like there's testosterone in my house, even though it seems to only be mine. But
you know, for small business owners or, you know, people like me who have podcasts, being plugged in and prepared when an opportunity comes up to be able to tell people who I am and get them information on where to find me is so crucial. So those moments actually happen all the time. And, you know, they're happening to me a lot now. And having a business card that shows how professional I am right in my pocket and ready to hand out is always the first step of making something really great happening. And right now, you know, the next big opportunity that is coming your way is probably coming at this very moment and you don't even know it. And Vistaprint is here to help. So with free shipping on any business card in any quantity, you can go to Vistaprint and choose whatever style, finish, shape, or paper that you like and get free shipping. And because you can pick the colors and fonts and designs and images, it means that you can create something as unique and compelling as your own business or your own podcast for that matter. All you've got to do is plug in your information and your logo into hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company or upload your own personal layout, which is pretty amazing. You pick the paper, the stock, the style, and the quantity that's right for you. And you can even upgrade to a unique touch that gets rounded corners, which I like because I cut myself on the sides of my business cards all the time because I'm just, you know, not that graceful. And then you just order and receive your cards with free economy shipping. It's that simple. And you can feel good knowing that Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and reasonably and responsibly sourced paper stocks. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed or your money back, which I love. They always make it right for you. Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners will get free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. All you have to do is go to Vistaprint and enter promo code SAYTHIS, all one word, for free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. It's a limited time offer. Own the now at Vistaprint.com, promo code SAYTHIS. You support our show when you support our sponsors, and we love you for that.
Okay, so what is your never thought I'd say this? Well, we'll get you back.
Yeah, so this mascara moment, because it goes to, like I said, it's funny, but it also is like a wake-up call because it was the first day of second grade and my daughter's got her lunchbox stuffed in her armpit like really tight. Now, first of all, she would usually forget her lunchbox. So it's
right.
Like,
this is way too important what's going for you.
They think they're so sneaky.
And, you know, she's all like looking like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I'm like, you're never ready to go. So like, why are you all of a sudden ready to go?
All of this is so abnormal.
Yeah, totally.
Normally I'd be stoked, but I know that you are so pulling some shit right now.
Yeah. So I said, let me, you know, what's in your lunchbox? And finally she pulls out lipstick, like good old fashioned red, like I'm
ready
to go. And okay. I'm like, sweetie, you can't take lipstick to school, right? Put that away. Lunchbox remains under. First of all, she gave that up way too early. It was way too early. And then lunchbox stayed under her armpit. And I'm like, okay, what else do you have under there? So we did a little more investigating and we pull mascara. And I'm like, what were you planning on doing? Like taking a break and going to the bathroom and putting on your lashes and like coming back to class?
I
like
have no a story about this. Yeah.
So, there was like this like kind of joke in it all. But then I was also panicked because I'm like, I certainly know when we were seven, that wasn't, I don't think happening yet. I think it was more of a junior high, high school thing that girls were starting to discover that.
Seventh grade around, yeah.
But the reality is that it's everything is so in the front of them now and so accessible.
Well, and you do wear a lot of mascara.
And I definitely wear more makeup than my wife. It's a true story. We have a nice laugh about that a lot in our house. do you have that eye makeup remover?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I was a mess last night. it was like, man, how is my 7-year-old all of a sudden, and my wife is not a girly girl that's wearing lashes all the time. So how is she all of a sudden at a place where she feels like, oh, this is a good idea. I'm going to sneak mascara to school. What is it that she wants to accomplish or feel she needs to do? Or what is she being influenced by? I mean, all this stuff is like running through my mind as a dad. I mean, besides the funny story of it, I was like, man, this is crazy that I'm already dealing with someone who feels the need to, right. you know, want to grow up faster than she needs to. And I just think it's a product of what's, you know, they're what's accessible to
them. Oh, totally.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
So I have a story about, and I don't know, have I told this one already about Zoe and the... And the changing clothes at school? No, I don't think I have. Okay. I have to ask Emily because...
I know, we don't remember.
Because Celia and I do not remember what we talk about on the podcast. We were just talking about this earlier that we were listening to another few episodes that had finished getting edited. And every time, it's a surprise to us. We're like, what's this episode about? I have no idea. We get to the end and I'm like, do you remember that talking about? She's like, I have no idea. So anyway, I had to ask Emily if I had told the story. So Zoe was... in first or second grade, I think maybe second grade. Was it? I don't know. Anyway, no, it was a little bit older, second or third grade. Anyway, she would always have this backpack, again, sort of the red hair, like just full of stuff. But she always has a backpack full of stuff. She brings 9 books with her because she's constantly hiding books in her desk to read. And she's, you know, she brings crap back and forth all the time or, you know, from her dad's house, whatever. So I didn't really think that much of it, that like her backpack was so full. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I mean, okay, you know, whatever. So I drop her off and then I realize that she forgot something in the car. I had to drop something out of the office, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to go give her one last little kiss before I go to class. So I go pop my head in her class. Zoe's not there.
What?
I'm like, I dropped this little fucker off like 5 minutes earlier. Where is she? I mean, she's not in class. She was like, she hasn't come in yet. I was like, oh, she hasn't. She hasn't even. So she has not arrived.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, oh, no. So now, mind you, I dropped her off in the little school valet. I watched her walk in.
Right.
So I know she didn't leave.
Right.
Because I know like they don't let kids out. You know what I mean? Like right. I know once that was.
She's not at the mall.
But I'm like, what are you doing? Pray tell, what the fuck are you doing? So, because it's now 8 minutes past the bell ringing, and I dropped her off 5 minutes before the first bell ring. So it's been like 12 minutes
now. And you're just sitting in the office, like, where the fuck is my daughter?
I was at her classroom.
Oh.
I popped my head into her classroom.
Oh, shit.
And her teacher was like, oh, she's not here yet. I said, what do you mean she, that, I was like, excuse me? He was like, yeah, she doesn't come in. So I was like, hold please. I'll be right back with my child, because I know she's somewhere on this campus, and I am about to find her.
Oh, my God.
So I go, it's like walk towards the bathroom. Their school is very small. So I walk towards the bathroom. I don't see her. I go in, you know, I open the door. I'm like, hey, is Zoe in there? And nothing. Walk back through down the hallway, walk back around, see her coming back.
Oh my God.
Walking up the ramp into her classroom. I walk to her classroom. I pop up in the door. I said, what are you doing? Oh. And where have you been?
Oh my God.
That child jumped out of her seat. Lost it. And then I look and I'm like, what are you wearing?
Oh my God.
Why are you wearing Dorothy costume?
What?
She had changed. She had changed from her clothes that she wore at home, gone into the bathroom, changed into a Dorothy costume, complete with red sparkly ruby slippers.
What?
Was it Halloween? And a jean jacket? No.
She was feeling it.
No, it was not Halloween. She just needed to have this on. And I was like,
gearing up to be a drag queen later?
And so then I go, what? Give me your backpack. And then I see the, and I'm like, oh, there's more shit in the backpack.
Oh my God.
So I am standing right outside of this little girl's classroom, pulling clothes and costumes. There's not a fucking book or a notebook or a pencil to be found in this goddamn backpack. But there is like 9 costumes and 3 pairs of shoes and costume earrings and all of this.
She is a drag queen.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. And a fake passport, a kilo of cocaine, and $10,000. But that was a whole other thing. No, I was like, what? And then I said, well, what? So you have all these other outfits. Were you going to do like multiple outfit changes? She was like, well, yeah, I was going to change. You know, I was going to change at lunchtime. And I was like,
wow.
And I said,
why?
I was like, have you done this before? She's like, well, I mean, maybe. You know, and I was like, so come to find out. Like, and
that's
no
like
one
her
had.
Thing.
Yes.
Oh,
no one had told God. Me no. that she was doing this stuff. But like they bring stuff to school. I can't tell you how many times still. The children walk out, and I can tell whenever, the night before, because I've been in the room and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm going to put this in your backpack. No, I got it.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Yeah. That's good. And I'm like,
liars.
I go, open the backpack. Oh, no, it's fine. I'll just put it on my desk, Mom. I'll put it in there. But usually Zoe. But B is notorious for it too. But I was like, what isn't? And again, they got the whole goddamn James Charles palette with 15 eyeshadows and makeup and all the stuff in there and like lipsticks. I'm like, no.
They're doing the cabaret show.
I told her, they are.
That's what
I told her when she came in the thing. I was like, this is school. This is not a costume parade.
It's happened to us. We got the email. No.
Did he really?
She changed
the email. She was just changing.
Well, here's the one that our daughter, we sent her to school in a cute little outfit that you would wear. So it was leggings. I can remember it well. Leggings, a skirt, like a tank top, and then kind of this cool like knitted, like hang off your shoulder sort of crop top thing that goes over. Kind of like what you're wearing. Uh-huh. You wear a shirt under it. And then...
But you wear a shirt under it.
Exactly. Uh-oh. So that's like part of the fun, right? Just like you
not
do
for
with
her.
The skirt.
No.
So then we get this email, and it really what the email was a picture forwarded from like the teacher to the principal going, what do I do about this?
Oh,
and
my
it was
God.
A picture of Shia, who had changed in, or not changed, really had taken the undergarments off her leggings and her tank top off. So now she's wearing essentially a mini skirt and like a crop top. And it was like, so
my
then,
mouth is
yeah,
wide
basically
open.
We get the email because the, you know, the authorities at B don't know whether we are aware of this or we're okay with this. So they send a gentle email going,
proof.
Yeah, going, I'm not sure that, you know, she's wearing the appropriate, and we're like, no, of course we didn't send her to school.
No,
like that.
We didn't send her to school looking like Julia Roberts.
Exactly.
And I said,
so please inform her. I know she has other clothes. So put those, you know, back on.
Yeah. She's got other clothes.
Shit.
So, you know, it goes back to like, it's just a scary.
I mean, I remember doing that, but not till like high school.
High
really.
School, yeah.
High school was like, I remember, sorry, Mom, I had a shirt that said like, I don't know, it was like, something stupid, something like porn star. So I don't know, something ridiculous.
Yes.
That like when you're like it was like a Playboy
with
bunny or something
ears,
fucking
silence.
Lame. Oh God! And I don't think I put it on at school because our school was like would not have let that shit fly. But it was definitely like, yeah, we're going to the movies, and then like put that on and go like you know some random house party.
I got sent home from
sorry,
school.
Mom.
When I totally
for what you were wearing?
Yeah,
for your Playboy bunny shirt.
No,
were you wearing it
now,
with your boys love me hat?
Shut up.
Which I, by the way, we've mentioned in so many episodes. I realized that it's like
it's
a
that
thing.
Good.
Yeah,
I had an I love boys hat in seventh grade, and I also had like an Isro and blue glasses and braces. So you know the boys really loved me too. So
I love
had
it.
A hat just
it.
To make sure that they knew I wasn't
knew
a lesbian or something. I think. Because wow, that was a look for me. I used to like dress up in all black. You know, I was dressed up like The Cure, and I would like dye my hair black and stuff in high school. And my mom wasn't paying attention. I think she wasn't really around a lot. She worked on different hours and whatever. Right. And I had my my biker jacket that I still have to this day. And I just had it over it. And I had on this sheer black shirt from Signal, which I don't even know if it was out here, but it was a big deal on the East Coast. It was Signal, but it's Signal. And it was super obnoxious.
Wait, what, hold on.
Yeah.
Why is it Signal?
I don't know. That's how
it's
it was
not
spelled.
Signal.
It was C-I-G-A-L, and the G had like
C-I-G-A-L?
A tilde.
C-I-G-A-L?
Yeah,
Signal.
No, it had an N in there somewhere. I used to work there, swear to God. Signal.
Oh, I've heard of that place. Yeah.
Signal. No joke. That's how you said it. It
it's
was
fucking
super
Signal.
Poshy and obnoxious.
It's, Signal.
And I got a discount, so I because I worked there.
You got a discounted Signal.
At Signal.
No.
Damn
Signal.
It. Anyway.
Signal.
I had my black sheer shirt and a bra underneath it, and that was it. And I wore my biker jacket over it, and then I had on my ripped jeans because it was the, you know, 80s. And I totally, I totally got pulled out of class by my dean, and he was like, you're not staying in school like that. Like, you got it. You're
well, okay, so I was watching Euphoria, and I had that thought. I was watching that show, which I love, and I think it's a great show. It's both horrifying and really well done all at once. And it's because they're talking about some really real shit. But one of the girls on there, I think it's Barbie... I can't remember Ferreira, her last name. Anyway,
I have no idea where you're asking.
She
you know,
plays...
I never know anyone.
Oh,
like ever.
Anyway, she plays a cat on the show.
Okay.
But there's like one scene in one of the last episodes where she like she's changed her style and she's done this whole thing. And she like walks out of the house so in a sheer shirt with like a bustier and then like a like a body harness or whatever. Looks great. Like she, you know, and again, like sometimes I'm like, oh, but these are supposed to be teenagers. Like the one girl was wearing something. I was like, oh, she looks fantastic. Oh my God, she's supposed to be 16. No.
Right.
But I was watching and she like walked out and her mom like comes out and looks at her as she's leaving the door. And I was like, there would have been some fucking words if one of the kids tried to walk out of the house in a body harness. And I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I get not like just being like, oh, I'm going to hide it and whatever. But like, I was like, oh shit. It's all belted and buckled. Yeah.
My mom was furious. Keep in mind that I was raised a conservative Jew. And that's how I got out of the house.
Right.
And like, we kept kosher in my house. My older sister is an Orthodox Jew that lives in Israel. Well, you didn't put
cheese.
I mean,
you didn't put cheese on your boobs. Like,
no.
So there's.
How did your dad deal with that?
My dad was not around that much, although I believe he got the phone call for that as well. And that may have been a fight between the two of them.
My dad is a whore.
I mean, really, it may have been something to that effect. I know that they both had to come to school and like come and get me. And that did not go over well. And he basically was like, you know, do you need money to buy real clothing? Like, I think that's where my dad went. Where he's like, I'll take you shopping. We'll get you some things that button up all the way up to your neck.
Right.
You know, like, great. Can we do that? You know, like my dad couldn't deal with conflict at all.
No. Now, for a dad, you know, I can only imagine, like, what are some of the conversations that you are dreading having with them coming up, and how do you think,
or have
how do
had.
You see yourself handling these things as a dad? Because I know how we've had to talk to our kids about sex and bodies and, you know, all of that
vagina
kind of stuff.
Holding,
vagina,
like
right? Vagina holding, sort of like corn holding, but right, a different
but
game. So
yeah, no, it's such a scary, sticky thing because like I am like so protective of my girls, and I've just made it clear that like their body is their sort of own, and that's it, and like. It's a kind of a constant conversation without getting into biology. I sort of leave that to my wife. You know, they've sort of had those conversations. From the innocence of like shower time where I'm like, you know, wash your parts, like that kind of thing.
Right.
Like, you know, do it. But
yeah.
But moving forward, man, it's scary. It's scary having
Do
girls
dads and- have that fear? I mean, I would imagine, I know moms do, but it's sort of because we have a different relationship. Do dads have that fear of losing their little girl and what relationship becomes?
I'm terrified, because I can see it starting to happen, like them wanting to, you know, just go and kind of, and be, but like, man, I can see them, the day they find refuge in a boy. You know, because I know that day's coming, especially if it's a boy that I'm not excited about, is going to be very difficult. And I really know that day's coming because we all do it. We're at a young age, we fall in love and that person becomes the only thing that matters. And we're willing to just defy everyone around us. I know it's coming. And it's like we're going to have to get through it because it's not going to be the person they marry. Chances are. And so.
Right.
God, I hope not.
I know those days are coming, like the defiant in love sort of teenager or whoever, you know, however they, I just don't want to ever lose. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, lose my little girl, but lose that relationship, that sort of pure relationship that I have with them, you know, that I don't think can be replicated between.
Yeah.
It's hard for dads daughter. Too, because it's like, we can sit there and talk about, you know, stuff with our daughters. And like, I can say things to Harper about, you know, I don't know, boys and Lulu too, but I'm not totally sure she's going to like boys, but we'll see. But I can like look at them and, you know, say whatever these tough conversations are, and they're not like freaked out that it's me. They might roll their eyes and be like, oh, mom. But there have been times that, you know, their dad has tried it and Harper has been like, dad.
Oh, God. Yeah. No.
Right.
You know, and it's, you guys are in such a hard place with girls because you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable.
To this day, I don't think I want to consider the fact that my dad is actually a male. Like, he's just, you know what I mean? My dad was not, I don't think I've ever seen my dad's feet without socks on them. I'm not even kidding. It's a joke in our house that my dad will sit there complaining about how hot he is in fucking long sleeve, like pajamas. Like, and I mean like button up PJs, like flannel pajamas and socks in August. And he's like, God, it's hot in here. We're like, take the goddamn socks off. But I've never seen my dad's feet, let alone anything else, which I'm totally fine with and completely happy with.
I've never seen my dad in a bathing suit. My stepdad, though.
I've seen my dad. When I was little, we would go, and I think there's pictures of my dad in
I think maybe
in like shorts that are far too short.
I got more Native in the mail today.
Oh, you love your Native.
I really do. You want to know why?
Why?
It works.
It does.
It works. I mean, I'm sorry. I've tried other natural deodorants that don't work.
Oh, those are the, yeah, no, there's some really bad ones out
it's
there.
It's, I mean, you can't, cover yeah, it. They don't cover it.
But
and you know it.
All summer have smelled like lavender and rose.
That's exactly what I'm using. Thanks for noticing. Yeah, it was kind of a good call, I think, on my part. I've wanted to make the switch over to a natural deodorant. And Native makes it so easy because using a natural deodorant doesn't mean that I have to sacrifice on odor or wetness protection. And it's like, you know, I mean, what's not to like about it? It's aluminum free, which I like because, you know, aluminum has actually been linked to some serious health ramifications. And yeah. I really want something that's aluminum free and safe and effective. And
absolutely,
you know, Native is.
Especially plus, for the girls. You
oh
know?
Yeah. Harper keeps stealing it and I don't blame her. I mean, it's really good. I probably give her the one I just got because I actually have a little left of the one I have from before. So, you know, it's worth it. And Native comes in a wide variety of scents for men and women. Plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year.
Oh, I saw their fall scents.
I am so excited to get some of those. I mean, come on. They also have one that's unscented, and it's baking soda free, which is also really nice because some people are really sensitive to baking soda. So, you know, you can't use it. But they have coconut and vanilla. They've got lavender and rose, like you said, that I use all the time. And then cucumber and mint and eucalyptus and mint.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in the U.S. So, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't want to use it. And I'm telling you, this lavender and rose is like, it
really
delightful.
Smells great.
It actually puts me in a really good mood. It feels very like aromatherapy to me.
Oh, there you go.
So I think that everyone should try it. And if you want to try it, and I know a lot of you have, and more of you should because it's so good. All you have to do is go over to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code say this, and then you get 20% off of your first order. So that again is 20% off of your first order, and you have to go to Native Deodorant. And I'm going to spell it, and I swear I'm going to get it right. It's NativeDeodorant.com.
I am so proud of you now.
I'm kind of proud of me too.
You are just National Spelling Bee
award-worthy. I feel like I maybe should.
And you know
get
what you
want
to be doing up there? Sweating.
It's true. If I was in a spelling bee with Native, I would not sweat it.
There you go.
Or if I did, I'd smell like lavender. So who would know? Use promo code say this. So again, 20% off your first order.
Yep.
NativeDeodorant.com. Use promo code say this. Smell lovely, feel lovely. It's all worth it.
And be a spelling bee champion.
Exactly.
My stepfather came into our lives when I was like 12 or 13, and he was much more of a dad to me than my father in a lot of ways, because my father was just not really around, and my stepdad came in with, you know, three teenage girls,
wow.
One of which my older sister was gone pretty much right after he came into our lives, but he had me and my younger sister to pretty much, you know, be with all the time. And that poor guy was around for my first breakup. And like I got dumped and I was in my nightgown that my boyfriend came over and dumped me like in the morning. And I was in my like little, you know, 16-year-old like nightgown from like Victoria's Secret. And he dumped me and I fell apart. And my poor stepfather heard me sobbing. And I was in the living room and came upstairs from our basement, which was his recording studio. And was like, he looks like Jerry Garcia, my stepdad. And he was like, and just hugged me like because he like, didn't know what to do, and I just
now was
I
that the best
sobbed.
Thing you could have done?
Yeah, think? I mean, I don't know what he could have done otherwise. And you know, later he was like, "I don't like that guy," and like he was also the one when my boyfriend tried to get back together with me, and I was like, you know, no, you hurt me, and get off, you know, get out of my house. And we were on my driveway. That my stepfather like flew out the door and got in between us and was like, get the fuck out of here. And I remember being like, oh, okay, I have someone has like he has my back. Okay, that's cool. Like so I think as a dad, you know, you gotta
I was
that.
So you clocked that
oh,
my
yeah.
dad has or my he has my
yeah.
back. My
yeah, stepdad absolutely. My step yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, I think my dad did too in his own way.
No, I know. I just the idea that like Ali's mentioned that, my wife's mentioned that to like you know, just always make sure that they know that no matter what, daddy has their back. And yeah. I want them to always know that.
So I always, I always knew that about my dad. My dad's always been great. Amazing.
Your dad still
and
has
my
your back. He my dad kick anyone's butt. That
Oh, he would. Absolutely. I mean, and
let's
I,
be clear.
I would. I absolutely love my dad. And he's always been like that. But even as close as my dad and I were, I mean, I was daddy's little girl growing up. Like, he and I were super close. When I hit 12, 13 in puberty and stuff, it was like the last person that I wanted to be around was my dad. Right. And I think about that now, like all the time I spent just like, oh, my dad. Like, yeah. So, and like how much fun I have with him now. Uh-huh. Although I was like that about like any adult, really. I was like, oh,
yeah, yeah. I think
so
that's everybody.
That's everybody. Yeah. But like, you know, I remember it didn't even take him like doing anything necessarily. I was just like, ew, my dad.
So what would
dads be- are weird. Dads right. are old.
Dads have penises. Right.
But it was like my mom, if shit went down, like I knew I could go to my mom. She'd probably be pissed and be like, you're right. an idiot, which I was, but absolutely, 100%. But I knew I could go to my mom and kind of tell her like anything. Right. But like my dad, there was still this like fear because I knew he still looked at me as a little girl and not as an adult woman, you know?
Do you guys have the sense you didn't like want to let your dad down? Was that something?
Yeah.
That,
like, yeah, I think so. Like, and I, cause I remember my mom was always more the disciplinary. My dad, you know, whatever. My mom was always the one who was like the, you know, the more, you know, this is how it's going to be and whatever. And kind of did the day to day and drove me back and forth to set. But my dad was the one, if my mom said, like, I am going to tell your father, like, it terrified me. Mm-hmm. My dad wasn't going to fucking do anything. Right, like, right. My mom was far scarier as far as that went. Yep. Like, my mom was way scarier. But somehow, I always wanted my dad to have this idealized version of me. And I see that kind of
like
with,
even when you were, say, 12, like you said, or those years when you didn't want to like tell your dad anything, you still in the back of your mind
I still wanted.
Both my kids are like that now.
And I think I was going to say, I see it with my girls now. Like they do want that, particularly from daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it is that it's sort of that opposite sex parent thing.
So let me guys ask you this as women.
And I think they want to act younger for their dads.
They do. Oh, interesting. Yes, that's true.
Oh, that's
and
really
I remember I was sort of the same way. And I still kind of can be that way with my dad. Like I just
And didn't want to let more... on that maybe you were maturing more than
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's awkward.
You to.
Yeah. It's awkward. Yeah. Right. What were you gonna ask us?
Well, no, as like as women that have girls and have been teenagers before. Who, like you said, like you loved your dad, but you want to kind of shut him out at the same time through those years, or at least not have those private conversations. Like, what would your advice be to that dad that it has the teenage girl, that the teenage girl loves him, obviously, but like he is being shut out, but he knows it's, you know, because now you're I always love my dad. I love my dad now.
You know, I will say I do think as my dad was good in that he did kind of like, back off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't try and press it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is like out of your fear comes this like panic of, oh my God, let me
Let
me overshare. Yeah. Let me, you know, and like sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, they don't want to hear that either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of being there. And I think sometimes when they realize like, look, I'm here no matter what, like come talk to me. You know, if you don't but I'm still here. I'm not judging you. I'm not, you know, now I'm judging you, but I'm not, but silently.
But silently.
And that's a difference. Right. I'm judging you, but you will not know it.
Right. I will talk to somebody else about it.
Right. But I will write it down and tell you about it 15 years from now.
Right. Find something you can do with them alone. Too.
And I think that's, yeah. I mean, the big thing is that's, you know, particularly in your girls' cases, like all the sports and stuff they play and like how involved you are with that with them, I think is great because you guys do have that. Right. Connection.
Yeah.
Like Zoe has that with her dad. Her dad takes her to a lot of the soccer stuff when I'm, you know, out of town or whatever and has been really involved in that. And I think that's been great for her because that sort of mentality of like having that relationship with dad and sports and, you know,
but something like special that, you know, is just yours. Like I think that was, I had that with both of my dads, you know, my my dad debt, my father, I used to watch Star Trek with, and would go in and watch Star Trek with him until I was, you know, 18. Like, yeah, if he had it in, I would, even if we were barely talking, I would go in, like, plop down on the couch when I go visit him and he'd put on Star Trek. We'd never, we wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
That was, we would talk my dad and I would sit and that was our,
you know. And then my stepfather was a musician and then he realized I could sing and then we used, that was our bond together was that, you know, we would listen to music or we'd record songs together or whatever.
I think for dads too, what I from my own experience and what I see oftentimes with little girls, I think men sometimes need an activity to connect them with, you know what I mean? Like, men aren't the one, like, moms and daughters or, like, other women to just kind of, in most cases, again, I am speaking generally, don't give us fucking hate mail because, you know, you're the one that dad that likes to sit and talk about his feelings for hours, which is lovely and wonderful, but that's not what I'm saying. Anyway, I think that a lot of times men and dads need a thing to bring them together.
Totally.
You know, it's weird to just kind of sit there, hey honey, how's it going? You know, moms will go shopping or we'll go to lunch or we'll
get our nails done. Get our nails done.
Right. And we're just more like chatterboxy type of creatures. And I think oftentimes with dad, they don't, they feel that they're missing that. Like, I don't know how to just kind of sit and, you know, bullshit with my daughter. We're not going to go get our nails done or whatever. I don't know. So it's like when you find that activity, whether it's, I mean, my dad and I used to watch, you know, Twilight Zone and shows like that, an old Western. I, you know, I hated John Wayne movies, but I'd sit and watch them with my dad.
Right. Because it's something you could do.
Because it's something we could do together. And I think
you need like a lifeline.
I think that's something great, you know, for dads to kind of think about is like, what is the thing? And with each one of your kids, like, what is the thing that you two can connect on, whether it's, you know, playing a board game or video games or, you know, soccer,
yeah, we have
whatever
daddy,
it
daughter
is.
Like, date night. And we basically alternate. Perfect. And it's like they know that, oh, it's my turn. And, you know, we get to do whatever. What do you guys, what's your piece of advice for the dad dealing with the brokenhearted teenage girl?
I honestly think what Harvey did was, like, awesome, my stepdad. Like, I think you can be there, you know, hug them. I don't know that you need to do that much more. And put the dude down. That helps, you know.
Put him down.
Totally. Come on. You want to be validated. Like, be like, that guy was ugly.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, just to, like, I thought you, like take him. Just go out there. Take him down. Like, just knock the shit out of him. I was like, wow, that's, I mean, that's one way to.
It's all violence with you, sweet.
No, I just was like, you know, you said he jumped in the middle of you guys.
Take him down, put him down. Put him,
I thought put him down
to sleep
like,
either,
you know what it
God
is?
Sake.
It's because the dog's barking and all I can, you're like, put him down. I'm like, that's, I want to. I'm ready to now.
No, I mean, I think, you know, as a dad, it's like, if you're like, you know, I mean, my daughter had her heart broken recently. And I think the one thing that helped was, like, I went into her phone. I changed the name of the dude in her phone to something like wildly obnoxious. You know?
Totally,
like, just so, like, every time she'd look at it, it was like loser man, right, like, you know, whatever. And, you know, just as a dad, I think, be like, you're pump your girls up. You know, you're beautiful. Right. You're this. You're going to have men falling at their feet for you. You know, as a dad, like, if you can let them know that you're the male that they're going to hear in their head, you tell them that they're beautiful and worth it, they will believe it. And that's, you know, that's been such a huge thing. I'm going to go therapist-y, sorry, but like,
no, it's okay. It's what parts of, it's what makes us legitimate. So make so do it. So we get our 5 minutes of like legitimacy and then people, then, right.
You know what? There's a whole campaign in California that they started a couple years back about why it's important to, for people to have, you know, kids to have dads, but specifically girls. And you'll see the billboards actually
Or male role models and influences.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
in general.
But
it talks a lot about, and there's a ton of studies involved around girls' development and their ego and their self-esteem and their body image is not, we used to think it was directly related to moms. You always hear girls, you know, bitching about like, my mom told me I was fat. And they're trying, it's not actually that. It's what their fathers say to them in a obviously non-sexualized way.
Of course, no,
but
yeah.
in propping them up for who they are, you know, not just their looks, but also that they're smart and they're funny and they can do anything and they're worth everything kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of families come out with girls that have a lot of different issues, you know, for multiple reasons. And usually they're missing that father figure in their life. And that seems to be the correlation. Mm-hmm. So I would
what have they done studies on like same sex parents? Is it the same thing as far as like just needing some sort of an, like a external influence, you know what I mean? Like if you have two moms or you have two dads, how do you work on getting that
validation from both parents?
Okay.
One normally will fall into, even in same-sex marriages, into the you know, sort of more masculine role, whatever that might be. And if they're getting that validation from that role.
Got it.
And obviously surrounding yourself with men and grandparents and whoever else that are propping them up.
I just wondered if that, like, what
for me, it was coaches. It's funny because I can go back. I'm like, you know, coaches, I just, their approval meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And then when they, Zoe's like that for sure. Like the, you know.
She really gets so much fulfillment from hearing her coaches and, you know, and her dad telling her how good she's doing, you know, with soccer or whatever. Like that's really her thing.
Yeah. Mine was always teachers.
And I will, like, both of my girls have a great sort of thing that they connect with their dads on, you know, B and her dad connect on music.
Yeah.
And
that's
they do, you know, her dad's, so knowledgeable and, like, you know, all of that about different kinds of music and all of that.
Right.
So they have a little thing that they connect with as far as that. And then Zoe and her dad really connect over the soccer stuff. So I'm always glad to see it because I do, you know, worry, like, what, because of, you know, divorce and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like, you wonder, like, oh, I want to make sure that they have both sides of that, you know, relationship and the other people that you then add into their life, like, who, you know, who are the people that build them up and support them and all that.
Okay, I have something to tell you.
Oh, do tell.
I am being so much better about self-care. I know we talked about that. I'm not great about that.
You are almost as bad as me.
neither one of us are very good about it. I'm full on committed to using the FabFitFun subscription.
Oh, I love their stuff.
It's so good. I can't even deal with it. Their new fall box is on sale right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm right now obsessed with Cosmetics Pure C that was in there.
Uh-huh.
It is this like vitamin C powder that you can mix into your lotion or any of your cosmetics and then you put it on your face.
Oh.
And yeah, it brightens up my skin.
Yeah, your skin looks great.
It's really soft. I'm petting myself. I wish you guys could see that, but it's true. And it's really great. And the other thing I'm really into right now is this Aveda stuff that came with it, or Aveda rather. That's how you say it, right?
Aveda? I'm not sure.
I don't know. No, it's Aveda. Aveda. Okay. And it is it's a leave-in conditioner to help repair your hair that's damaged.
Like from you pulling your hair all the time, which is your worst habit.
It could totally be because of that. And now when I pull on my hair, it feels even better because I've been using that all because of my FabFitFun.
And they're all full-size products, which is awesome.
Yep, they're all full-size. They deliver seasonal boxes, and they all have, like, every box has must-haves that you really do need and that you can treat yourself with. Or if it's something that you don't feel like you'll use but you love, you can give it to somebody else, which is amazing. I mean, I've heard of people doing that. I'm keeping all of mine because apparently I'm selfish. But
damn it.
Yeah, sorry. Although you really probably should try this vitamin C stuff because it's pretty amazing. But you save money on quality full-size products because, you know, they get you, like you said, these full things. And the boxes don't last long. So, you know, everybody should go and sign up right now and get yours today.
They always sell out.
They totally sell out. And I can see why, because it's just, I mean, everything in there is pretty amazing. And it's just, you know, it's great. So, if you get your membership, that just goes on, you know, beyond the box itself. And it's just so cool. And you can explore their website and then you just become more familiar with their brand and, you know, all the products they have. And, you know, it's just, it's so fun to get something in the mail.
And you get full size stuff for a super deep discount.
Okay. So it retails for $49.99, but the box itself always has a value of over $200.
That's crazy. That's $150 off.
It's $150 off. And get this, if you end up using it through us, you use the coupon code SAYTHIS, and then you get $10 off of your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. So that is $10 off of your first box when you use SAYTHIS, and you go to www.fabfitfun.com. And then that's it. That's all you have to do.
There's your self-care, ladies.
Right. $39.99. You are worth
$49.99.
$39 when you use your code.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Go do it, ladies.
Come on. Just do it. You're worth that. And, you know, you're going to love everything. I love everything. I cannot wait for the next box to come out and see what's in there.
It's also really important that they see you being fallible. That's a big thing, because that's another study I know that I just read recently about how daughters and sons, for that matter, that never, where their dads are sort of removed and always remain sort of like perfect and on a pedestal, they can't ever live up to it. And then they feel like they're failures. So it's okay, you know, it's like, you know, she walked in on you naked, like whatever. Like it's okay if you yell at them or, you know, they see you fuck up in any way. It's also okay for kids to see parents arguing. In fact, it's now studies show that's actually better, because then they don't feel like they're supposed to hold up to some standard of a relationship that's completely unattainable, because parents used to argue away in close quarters.
Yeah.
What you're saying is I'm killing it. Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying. Okay,
both of us. I mean, clearly. Oh,
we're
naked yelling. Right. We're, you know, screaming at them.
No, I'm going to bring you over just to yell at you naked now in front of the kids so that they make sure that they really get exposed and balanced.
I'm actually surprised that hasn't happened yet. to be totally fair.
I had that moment the other day, though, where I had to be like in kind of the heat of a parenting moment. I was like, well, your dad's a flawed individual. And I don't want you to be a flawed idiot. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to keep you from making a lot of the mistakes that I made, whether they're small as a child or bigger when you're an adult. But like, you know.
Well, they say also, I mean, listen, taking responsibility is everything. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, and there was a point.
I tell them all the time. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's what I yelled that at my kids so much. I don't know what I'm doing. No. I have no idea.
Totally.
Like, and they just kind of look at you like, oh, you don't either? And I'm like, no one in this house knows what we're doing.
My kids were late this morning and I haven't seen them in a week. They just got back from their dad. They were late. They walked in the door and I just hear them downstairs. They're all happy. They're like, mommy. And I go, you're 10 minutes late and I need to leave and I have no idea what you guys are doing. And I'm like off and they're just quiet. And then as I'm talking, I just go, and none of this is your fault. And I really missed you. And I'm very sorry. Please come up here.
Right. It's so true. I'm sorry.
I am a dick. Like, but I do think that's a generational thing too, is that our parents weren't taught that. They were taught it's all about respect. You don't question. You don't talk back. I know what I'm doing. You know, if mom says it's the word, if dad says it's the word, it's the word. I don't need a reason. Now, we try that with our kids. But of course, our kids are like, no, but seriously, what's the fucking reason? Because like, why can't I do this? But I think in our, you know, parenting now, there's a lot more of, you know, I'm human. I fucked up. I'm sorry.
Yep. You know what? You know what I fucked up right now?
The dog.
The dog.
Yeah, I know.
The dog is so.
I know.
I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Just, this is life,
cats,
guys.
But
no,
this
I
is
love
life.
You saying to them,
cats.
I don't know what I'm doing, because I have to remind my girls that to them. I'm like, you're my first crack at parenting here. So like,
hey, you're my guinea pigs.
Yep, totally.
The next round is going to be so much better. Like, just so you know.
My cat's going to be super well adjusted. But you guys, not so much.
Yeah, totally. Especially like, they'll be, I'm trying to brush their hair, shit that I clearly have never done.
No.
I'm like, yo, your hair is the first hair I've ever brushed, period.
But here's the best part. Me too. Because I spent my whole life, like my mom did it, hairstylists did it, hairdressers did it. I didn't have to do shit. And I also just don't like that anyway. So I have two little girls, and luckily they both don't want to really, they're not very super fancy either. But they'll be like, mom, can you do a, you know, a braid into a thing? And I'm like, ponytail or straight, like that's your options. This is like
there's
the in and out.
Flyaways.
This is the fucking in and out menu of fast food, right? Of hairstyles. It's like cheeseburger or hamburger.
Yeah.
Like ponytail or straight. That's what you're getting.
I had to buy a brush in my house because, you know, I don't brush my hair because I have curly hair, and maybe somebody in my childhood brushed it out and it didn't look very good as a kid, mom. And so I just never had one. And because Harper has the same hair as me, and then Lulu comes out with this
got my hair.
Straight blonde hair. And I was like, she kept getting knots, and I'm like trying to put my
finger. Oh, it's the worst.
I'm like, oh, I have to buy a brush.
The meme that says like, oh, just, you know, every time I thought about like, I thought combing my daughter's hair would be such a bonding experience. And really it sounds like an exorcism, which is exactly right.
It's,
like,
killing me. Right. That's come out of Lulu's mouth before.
Right.
Yep.
I'm not killing you.
And, and you're like, I have a flat-handled paddle in my hand. I could kill you right now, but I'm not, because of self-restraint.
It's
a lot. It is a lot. But no, you, and I will say, you are an excellent dad, though. Like, you really are.
Thank you.
you're involved and you're hands-on. Yeah. And I think that, you know, really no matter what else you do, like as a mom, as a dad, as a single parent in a relationship, like just, you know, just be there. Just pay attention to them. Amen. Be there, hands-on. Love however them. Much you think you're fucking it up, you're there.
And I
you,
probably you know. Fucked it up more. That's what
that's true. However much you think you're fucking it up, Celia's done worse.
Done
so
worse. Yeah.
Just
and
take,
naked.
Right. Done worse and naked. Yep. So keep that in mind and you're doing great.
Well, it's crazy how fast it goes. I'm at that age now where, I mean, they're at that age now where I'm starting to squeeze them a little. I'm realizing quickly, I'm like, wow, I don't have babies anymore. And it's all going so fast. So while I'm trying to figure out the best move to do in some parenting situation, like that was last month, and all of a sudden there's a whole new slew of issues and problems. And now I'm just trying to hold them tighter. And if I can get them on my chest for a half a minute, I do. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I think that holds, by the way, when they're teenagers. Like when I notice it with Harper, like she's almost 13 and she's not, you know, cuddly, and she kind of never was.
Yeah.
But I notice when she's having like a total meltdown, my instinct is always to like scream at her, and then halfway through cuddle. I just look at her face and I'm like, oh God, she has no control over this.
Right.
And then I'll just grab her and hold her and she lets me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of
that's what I'm gonna do to you next time, Celia. I'm just gonna grab you and hold you.
I will punch you in the tit. Like so but hard.
I know you will, and it might be worth it. Just to see how uncomfortable you'd be if I tried to hold you and just kept putting your head to my chest.
No.
She hates to be touched or hugged. Yeah, and so I constantly am just rubbing her
arm. She does it all the time just to fuck with me for no reason. It's why I'm happy we're across the table when Gus is here, because then you can't reach me.
We're always across the table.
We're always some over there.
That's true. Sometimes you do sit a little close to me.
Yeah,
now
I strategically put myself across the table.
God damn it.
Don't touch me. No, get off.
Scoot my chair around the table.
No.
All right. So what do we got? Parenting fail, email.
We've got, first of all,
fail mail.
Can we just, I just want to thank everybody. You guys are, our fans are awesome.
Hashtag Never Nation.
Never Nation.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what we decided to start calling our fans.
Okay.
You guys read all of your emails.
You guys have been amazing.
Yeah, we read your texts, your PMs, your DMs, your emails, your stories, your... And she's off.
I went right to it. It's like, oh, I'm at my prom again.
No.
You kidding me?
Great
awesome
song.
Anyway. Yeah, so we read all of those and we love you. And I promised Mallory Corder that I would give her a shout out if we could. She is.
Do you see Emily turning down your volume again?
Shut up. She's our. Whatever. She's our number one fan. Now John's moving the mic. Whatever. Everyone, shut up. I'm tired too. Mallory, you're awesome. She has proclaimed herself our number one of our seven fans.
Oh, yes.
Red.
So Mallory Corder, that's for you. In our DMs on our Instagram, I will
our
say-
Our DMs on our IG. God, it's so many. It's
crazy.
So many letters.
I'm going to forget all of it at some point, by the way. I'm just going to start making up things. Our AS is on our DM, on our DMs. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But we've had some really good submissions.
What did Mallory have to say?
Well, Mallory just wanted to say that.
Oh, she know, just. Oh, we're just giving Mallory
just
a shout out. Hi, Mallory.
A shout out because she's adorable. And, you know, she's just our favorite. She says she's our number one fan. And I'll give that to her because what do I know? She got to us first. That's all. Okay. So we have a couple little fails here. We had one that was I had to take my partner's daughter, who's six, to the ER the other day because she put a stone in her ear.
A what?
Ooh, a stone.
Ow. A stone.
Yeah, this is just one of those things that was written to us. Her excuse why she had it in there was, I was just lying on the floor at school and it must have jumped in.
Oh, those damn jumping stone ear rocks things.
Happens all the time.
Right. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go to urgent care.
I've got stones in my ears. They just jumped in.
They just jumped in. Maybe that's why our kids are so deaf. Maybe they're just, they have the jumping stones at their school.
They hear what they want.
No, it's because their head is full of fucking rocks. Let's be real.
They hear what they want to hear. That is the truth. They
will even say that to me now, by the way. They've told me. They're like, I have selective hearing. You know that I can hear. They told the other day, they said, you know I can hear you in the other room, that I'm just not coming, right? And I was like, my head was going to explode. But they were like kind of laughing and we were all sort of fucking with each other that I was like, oh, I know you're saying this because you think you're kidding, but I know you're serious. Anyway, are there any other females?
Wait, why would they admit that?
Because they know at this point that what are they going to do? What am I going to do? What's anyone going to do? Nothing. It doesn't matter.
That's when you praise honesty.
Right. I was like,
at least you're being honest.
Well, because I told him, I was like, I know. I know. And they were like, oh, yeah, we know you know. And so I was like, well, OK, so here we are.
It's like, you're just dumb. Why would you do that? Well, this is a cute one. This came from Sarah. She wrote us and said, I found you today. And honestly, I'm so thankful. I thought I was psycho when my kids got to play. No, you're not. I have four girls, ages 13, 12, and 4 are identical twins. I'm glad they have a bond, but it's a bond that will end me one day.
Wait, wait, wait.
13, 12, 4 are identical twins. Four girls. So
four, wait, four-year-old
identical, twins.
Got it. I was like, how are there's? I was like, very confused. I was like, I only heard three kids and they all sound different ages. How are they identical twins?
They're what's all happening? Identical twins.
My brain
Jody.
Just exploded.
Just go there.
Okay.
They just, it's like cloning or something. So she says, their bond's going to end me one day. Here are some things that I never thought that I would say, and I want to share them. And any of them that you want to share, you are more than welcome. Madeline peels apart her PB&J sandwich and sticks both halves on her shirt.
What?
Take the sandwich off your shirt. You're not a sandwich.
Oh.
That's a poopy diaper, not a yay. I mean, yay, you pooped, but ew. You don't brush the floor, you brush your teeth.
Oh, my kids have done that. I'm like, that's not, no, we're not in, you don't.
Yep. Take the crayon out of your nose. You can't smell the color red.
But you can. Smelling the color red. I feel like
I think my kids can taste it, apparently.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Definitely chewed on a crayon or two.
Oh, totally. And then, you know, swallowed it, comes out the other way, same color. Yeah. If you can limit the amount of cereal poured in weird places, that would be great.
I just want to know what the weird places are.
I know, right? So she said, stop petting the kitty with your sandwich. Now you're eating a hairy sandwich.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Yep.
Thank you, Sarah.
Really, right?
And if you would like to hit us up with some of your parenting fails.
Never thought I'd say these moments.
I can't talk. That's it. I give up. Your never thought I'd say this moments. Save your hate mail and email it to someone else. We should just get a fake email and just give that.
We talked about that before.
If you have problems, hate mail.
Send
airing
it to
of grievances.
My mom.
You're gonna get a cease and desist,
and then I'm gonna read it on the podcast.
Oh yes, okay. But Celia, that's your cue. Where do we find people? Where do people find us? Oh, fuck me.
What kind of people are you looking for?
It's a very, that's a personal question that only Craigslist and I need to know. Thank you very much.
Lots of apps for that.
Right. Rachel's face.
I just saw that. I was like, Rachel's about to be like, Jody, shut up.
Right.
All right. Anyhow, it's at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram and Facebook, and at I Never Thought I'd on Twitter. And
Twitter's the outlier.
Yeah. Twitter is all kinds of messed up. Whatever. You'll find us. People have found us. And then our email is at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com.
No, it's not at neverthoughtid. It's just never, right?
No, it is at neverthoughtid.
On our email? Have you ever used email before?
Clarity
is key.
But it's at neverthoughtid'd say this. No, it's not.
It can't be at.
Jesus.
Right.
You've got one job. You have one job in this fucking podcast. Is to remember our social media.
Fuck, I don't know. No, yeah, it's neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You're right.
John, thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
And going
thank
along
you so much
on
for
this
me.
Insane ride.
I love it.
That was today's show.
You and your testicles.
both of them.
To be clear, both of them. Because if you've listened to previous podcasts, Celia thought men only had one ball.
It's true.
If they were lucky. They had one.
They were lucky.
Right.
Yep.
No. Nope. And John apparently
really
is very lucky.
Yeah, he's got two. Woo! Lucky.
All right. We will see you next week. So remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Or the fucking dog.
Or your husband.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audio Boom and Main Event Media.